and welcome. I'm Karen Curtis. I'm here with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, and welcome to our first live broadcast of Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. And we are here live at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood before a fantastic studio audience and several hundred fans of the show, about 350 of you here today. Let's hear it from you!
Awesome, awesome day so far, Karen. Again, I first want to welcome our studio audience to the show today. And I also want to thank you, Karen, and you, Scott, for joining me here week in and week out for help making the show possible. Thank you both very, very much.
Well, we love it, and it's so fun to be live this weekend. Well, before we actually start the show, let's ask the fans if they enjoyed our seminar so far today and any of the classes offered by our sponsors. How about just letting all the radio listeners at home and in their cars know with a round of applause?
Very, very flattering. That's great. Glad everybody enjoyed it. Thank you again. All right, now to those of you listening on the radio, we taught our Condo Craze board certification class this morning from 9 to 11:30. We have our live radio show, obviously, from noon to 1 today. Lunch after the show, and then our sponsors are going to be teaching great classes all afternoon long. By the way, we added dessert at the end of the day, so don't go home. So there'll be lots of goodies at the end of the day as well. So those of you listening in your cars or at home, if you're in the Fort Lauderdale area, still plenty of time to drop by and say hello.
Yeah, so, you know, we have a lot of things going on today, so I think we should just kind of let everybody at home know what's coming up.
Okay, how about we introduce who the sponsors are and who helped make today possible, and we'll call them off real quick in alphabetical order. How about Alpha Security Services?
Affinity Management Services.
Association Services of Florida Management.
Best Roofing.
The Broward Coalition.
Condominium Concepts Management.
Cyber Citizens for Justice.
The Department of Business and Professional Regulation is here with educational materials for everyone.
Yeah, I gotta think
even HOAs.
Yeah, well, eventually, but I got to think they're sold out. Their booth has been mobbed. Diamond Bright LED Technologies.
Douglas Orr Plumbing.
Driveway Maintenance.
Elcon Electric.
And the Florida Community Association Journal. We got Gerstel, Rosen, and Goldenberg, Mac and Waltz Insurance Agency,
Ruba Beach Company,
and last but not least, Service Master. Again, thanks to all of our sponsors for participating today. Really, thank you so much again for really making the show possible week in and week out.
What about, our firm?
And Glazer and Associates, of course, naturally, of course.
Of course, we're live here at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel, and normally we spend the hour taking calls from our listeners, but today we want to hear from our live audience, and we want you to answer your questions in person on the air.
All right, and in order to do that, Karen, we assembled also a great team of experts, and let's introduce them so the people playing along at home knows who actually talking. So we have, from Affinity Management Services, let's welcome Raphael Aquino. Thanks, Raphael.
Thank you for having me, Eric.
With a sexy voice.
Oh, that sexy voice, right, exactly.
From Association Services of Florida, Jeffrey Ulm.
Thank you very much.
All right. Condominium Concepts Management, all the way from Atlanta, Darlis Walker. Thanks for flying in, Darlis.
It's a pleasure to be here.
From our firm, we were supposed to have Ralph Rocco up here, but we have, of course, Scott Shapiro instead.
And from
hello.
Sorry, Scott. And from Cyber Citizens for Justice, the man that makes it all happen, Jan Bergman.
All right, Jan. From Gerstel, Rosen & Goldenberg, CPA Mark Gerstel.
And from Mac & Waltz Insurance Company, Greg Waltz.
All right.
Pleasure, thank you.
All right, now let's get going and let's set the stage for people at home. We're sitting in a great big ballroom. We'll try to play this out again for the people at home. We're sitting here at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel. And in this very same room, we got lots of community association managers. We have hundreds of board members and non-board member unit owners all sitting together. We're all laughing and joking together. And believe it or not, even having a good time and getting along with each other. Now, this is how I want to start the show off today. Why is it, though, that if we take this same group of people and we simply move them out of this ballroom and bring them back to the condos that they came from, all hell breaks loose and nobody wants to talk to each other anymore? So I want to hear from some of the board members in the room. Please do not be shy. I want to hear from some of you. And it's no secret, you know, board members, you're screamed at all the time. You're yelled at. You're second-guessed. You're accused of being on the take. You're accused of playing favorites. And otherwise, you know, making life miserable for the communities that you actually manage. And I want to know one thing. I want to know why you do it when you already know what you're in for. So we need a couple of brave board members out there to actually say why they do what they do. Who's going to be first? All right, we got
Go
people,
ahead.
Someone in the back. Let's get microphones out there as quick as we can. But we want participation. We want lots of you participating in this event.
Tell our listeners why you do what you do despite all the abuse. And let's get your name, how long you've served on the board, and what community you come from. And don't be shy.
My name is Jackie Didone. I live at Sheridan Lakes Condominiums. And I have been on the board just for this year. But I came on the board because of all the yelling and screaming that I had seen going on for years. We hired a management company. We have the best board I have ever seen. We have total communications between all of us. We all know the same things. We all know what's going on. And we have a management company that is there for us all the way.
Now, Jackie wants us to believe somehow that she's now on the only board where there's no screaming and yelling matches going on.
The board does not scream and yell. They disagree sometimes, but that's our opinions that we're expressing.
So is it sometimes dependent upon the type of people that are actually on the board? In other words, if you have great communication between the board members, does that mean you're going to have better communication with the people that actually are in the community?
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
How about from some of the management companies that are here? Do you find that to be the case? If a board gets along, there's probably going to be less problems with the community in which they manage? Let's hear it.
Absolutely. If the board is working in unison towards a common goal and working with a management firm, if they have on-site management, working together, you accomplish much. Being transparent to your homeowners, keeping everybody informed, you will have much less aggravation and conflict.
All right. Anybody else from a board that actually wants to say why you serve?
There's somebody right here. Oh, there's two people.
Two people.
Green shirt, blue shirt.
Thank you for the event. By the way, it's incredible.
Thank you.
It's incredible. I guess the biggest reason that drove me to want to be on the board was just the fight against apathy. It scares me. And I just wanted to try to figure out anything that I could do to show that the community that it's worth standing up. It's worth getting continuing education like you guys help provide.
Sure.
And we have to turn the tides on that trend of apathy.
So you got tired of the apathy that actually was going on in your community, and you decided to step up and do something about it.
Yep.
Fantastic. Way to go. Someone else in the back. Yes, sure.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm John Wirch. I just was elected to the board as president for Squire Hill Condominiums, Inc.
My sympathies, John.
Thank you. The reason I would like to serve on the board, and I'll be honest with you, I have a very vindictive attitude.
You mean you're out to get somebody now, John? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm out to get the people that never made things happen. Yeah. So the opportunity that I have to serve on the board now, being a prior business owner myself, is in the past, I've noticed a lot of chitter-chatter within the room during board meetings and a lot of animosity within the board. And I hope to change that.
Good for you.
With the new board.
What kind of business experience did you bring to the board?
I owned a business, a healthcare staffing agency, for many years before I retired from the military.
Gotcha. Do you feel that business experience helped you while serving on a board now?
Absolutely, yes. And I've sat on other boards as well, on the medical profession side of the house.
Okay, because let's face it, and I'll address this to the panel too, it isn't easy. You know, a lot of the communities that we actually have here, some of you are from tremendously large condominiums with budgets that are in the seven figures or more. And there's no requirement before becoming a board member to be an attorney, to be an accountant, to have any background whatsoever. So sometimes perhaps the job of actually getting on the board may be a little intimidating. Anybody ever find that to be the case?
Respectfully, Eric, I mean, there's no requirement to be on the board of GE either.
Right.
And there's billions of dollars
right.
at stake there.
Right. But they get salaried. Right. If you serve on the board of GE, you're probably getting something in return. Everybody here doesn't get anything in
just
return. So why do it? Anybody else? In the back.
Hi, I shall remain anonymous. I'm president at Sheridan Lakes. And the only reason why I'm on the board is a friend of mine thought it would be cute to put my name into the elections. And so I'm president by default because no one ran.
So you got duped into being on the board.
Duped and stooped, yes.
So the president got duped. I don't know, it doesn't make me sleep well, I got to tell you the truth.
But we had been self-managed since probably before Noah's flood. And we got a new management company in here, and sitting up there with you, and they have really made our life a lot better.
Well, then say who it is. Who's managing you?
The lovely fella to your left, two doors down.
Jeff Holm from Associa? Yes. Well, then good job, Associa. Way to go. All right, glad to hear. No, we want to hear good things about the sponsors.
And I'm not paying
absolutely.
Him to say that, by the way.
You'll get your check tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, anybody else? Anybody else? Yes, let's hear from that end.
Hi, my name is Linda Alt McLaren. I'm from Covered Bridge Condominium Association in Lake Worth, Florida. And I ran because I wanted to be the change that I wanted to see. I was tired of the board at the time doing, if not out, illegal, at least unethical things.
So you brought ethics to the board for a first time, huh?
I made the effort.
Good for you. No, glad to see people participating.
Eric, I think it's interesting that all of our guests today are talking about that they are serving because they want to make change in a positive manner to their associations. And I think the previous speaker who gave kudos to Jeff really brings home that it is a team effort. And having the right people on the board, having a good management company, it's just tremendous having the support of the homeowners. You will really enjoy being a board member as opposed to having just internal fighting.
Sure. Well, let's follow it up. Not only do I want to know why you ran, but once you got on the board, did you find it that it was even harder than you thought it was? And perhaps maybe you shouldn't have been so hard on the prior administration. Any thoughts on that? Yes.
Hello, my name is Marilyn Perez. Thanks to Eric Glazier, yes, I was able to take over via recall, hostile takeover, as I call it.
Oh, we won that one case, remember?
Yes, you did. Number one, I found, tagging on, there was apathy in the community. There was a very unethical way of the former board. There was disorganized crime. It was horrible. I come on board. I won, thank God. But now another fight continues, and it hasn't stopped. So thank you, Eric, but the battle continues.
Thank you. But it's not. But I guess you've learned, though, that it's just, even once you get there, it's not easy being there.
Yes.
And staying at the top.
Even my board members, throughout the recall, they have come and gone, and I'm the only one standing.
All right. Anybody else? Why do you do what you do? Are you just plain crazy? Yes.
Hi, my name is Katie Grant. I'm here with Anna Mattis from Carmela de California Club.
Yes.
I'm doing it because it's my investment and I care about my community and the people in my community. And the best thing that you could do, not to be frustrated and scream, to work with the professional that help you and work with you. We are very happy that actually I have Mr. Gershel and Rosen as our accountant for so many years. And that makes my life much, much easier.
Mark
much,
has served as my expert witness on countless occasions. Mark knows what he's doing, I will tell you that. CPA extraordinaire.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And now that you've got onto the board, what do you think? Is it harder or easier than you thought?
Oh, she took the mic.
How about give that mic right back. What do you think? Now that you got on there, is it difficult? Are you finding the job tough?
Well, I've been in the board for about 7 years.
Right.
And when I get there, I just went there to start to do things that before wasn't happening.
Right.
And then didn't happen. Then I said, okay, it's time for me to get involved in the board.
All right, so you're making things happen.
It's very, very
for the first
challenging.
Time.
It's very challenging, but I said there are so many people so supportive, and plus the professional we work with, and the board members that support you. And trust
Great.
Me, and I trust them, so this makes my job easier.
Yeah, I'm getting the feeling a lot of people think that. If you have people on the board who are good to you, you know, board can get along. It makes everybody's life easier. And anybody else? Anybody else have anything to say about why they chose to step up to the plate and serve on the board?
I've got something to say. This is a little disappointing. I was hoping we'd have at least, you know, one person here that said, I wanted to get on the board to steal money. Or I wanted to sue somebody and use the association's money because I have a personal grudge.
Right.
But I think what we're finding out here is that the vast, vast, vast majority of people that run for boards simply do it to help improve their community. As Eric said before, it's a thankless job, and probably most of the people here that are on boards right now learned, as Eric just said, it's a little bit harder than you thought it was going to be. You might have been the ones who thought that money was being looted from the association, and then when you get there, you say, no, it's not. There's just not enough money to pay for everything.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'd like, you know, see if anybody has actually dealt with that situation. You know, maybe you thought that things were just being run like a disaster, and when you get there, you just see that you have a very skimpy budget, and you got to make things last.
Right. Can we get that lady a microphone right there? Yes.
You just hit it on the head. Everyone here is, you know, positive. Honest to goodness truth, being over 30 years in the business, both as a property manager and served as officers on boards in New York City, Manhattan, that was fine. Come down to Florida, it's another story.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And in a very large community, that's exactly what's happening. Corruption, stealing, administration overpaid. And no thanks to the attorneys who are also no good.
Will someone escort her out of here quickly, please? Someone, security in the house.
Well, you know, there are plenty of places where there are a lot of bad things going on. And unfortunately, the main reason why those things go on is because residents that actually abide by the rules and, you know, pay their dues on time, they simply just don't want to get involved. So, you know, I guess I have to commend all the people here for getting involved because they wanted to make sure that their community didn't turn out like that.
Absolutely.
Because we have dozens of cases where we've taken over communities that were run into the gutter or things that we're litigating right now where boards were stealing not just, you know, a few thousand dollars, but in one case, a few million dollars over the course of a decade or so. And those people are dead or in jail right now. But there are some awful places, and unfortunately, the only way you can stop it is if there's community involvement. You're not going to stop it just by calling into a radio station or complaining, and quite frankly, you're not going to stop it by writing a letter to Tallahassee either. You have to get involved and, you know, put your name on the line.
Correct.
Alienette in the back.
David Samlofa, Kings Point, Delray Beach. I got on the board about 4 or 5 years ago because I was unhappy with my maintenance fees. It took about 3 years, and I became president. Now, in my community, my building is the lowest maintenance fees out of 7,200 units. It took a lot of work. It doesn't happen overnight. We have an additional problem right now with insurance, and I don't know whether to direct this to Eric or Greg. The name insured is not the correct name on the policy, and they won't even let you see the policies.
Well, again, needless to say, when you say they won't let you see the policies, who won't let you see the policies?
The Recreational Area Management Company.
Well, needless to say, that's all official records of the association that can be dealt with via a lawsuit after the show. All right? So let's deal with that. Let's deal with that after. By the way, before, when we were actually having everybody sign up online, one of the questions that we asked everybody is, how long have you served on a condominium board of directors? So I'm going to call out the name of Sam Martiello. Is a Sam Martiello in the house?
There he is.
Sam, guess what, Sam? You are our winner, having served on your board an astounding 35 years.
We have something special for Sam.
Sam?
Hi.
Sam, I'm going to ask you to come up front for a second, if you don't mind.
Eric, for serving that long, you have to give him like a car or something.
Sam, we've never done this before, but this is, again, live on the radio. We are giving you, our Condo Craze Dedication to Community Award for 35 years of devoted service.
Thank you very
much. That's for you, Sam.
Gorgeous award, Sam.
minute. But we're not letting you get away with it, Sophie. Why in the world would anyone want to serve on a board for 35 years?
When I moved into my community a long time ago, I was attending my first meeting, and because I'm in real estate and property management, they volunteered me to be on the board. So I've been there ever since.
Another person that lost the contest, apparently.
That's it. And that's where I've been. But
yeah, you're only 34.
58.
You don't look old enough to have been on the board for 35 years.
Sam, I'm curious. Yeah. What kind of drugs do you take?
No, not at all.
Got to be blood pressure medication. I know that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Right.
I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. Another round of applause for Sam.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sam.
Just a reminder to our listeners, we're live at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. We are in a ballroom with about 350 of our wonderful listeners and board members and condo and HOA inhabitants, and we're so happy that you're here. Another round of applause for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yay!
I tell you what, Karen. Let's do this. We're only going to take one break during the show today, so let's take our one break. It's going to be about an eight-minute break. It'll allow everybody to get up, stretch their legs. And when we come back, I'm going to throw out a question to our panel of experts because, yeah, there's been a lot of talk about all the wrongdoing that goes on potentially at condominium associations. And I'm going to want to know if, in your opinion, is that overrated? Is it exaggerated? Or are things a lot better in condos and HOAs than they actually appear to be? But, again, we'll come back right after the break. We're here at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida, the Seminole Hard Rock. I want to make sure I get that word Seminole in there. And we'll be back right after.
At the Seminole Hard Rock Casino and Hotel in Hollywood, Florida, with condo craze and HOAs. I'm Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates, a panel of experts, a room, a ballroom full of 350 wonderful fans from condos, HOAs, board members, everybody getting along, asking questions live here.
And they attended our board certification class first thing this morning. Although Brian just left a note on right in front of me, we got to bring it up. Several of you were caught actually on camera at the slot machines and blackjack tables. When you should have been in class, you will not be receiving your certification. Before we went to the break, actually, there has been a lot of talk from the audience about potential wrongdoing on boards, all kinds of crazy things, stealing money, tampering with elections, whatever it may be. Obviously, if we read the newspapers out there, there's even, you know, a sense of humor. Columns are written about it, about what goes on in our crazy condominiums here in Florida and homeowner associations. But what I want to know from our managers is it all exaggerated? Are things actually better than they really appear to be? And then, of course, we'll get the real answer from Jan.
Well, Eric, there certainly are boards that are out of control. There's no doubt that there are. A lot of the errors that we see are simply from boards that aren't educated. So are things getting better? Yeah, when there's classes like we have today, certification classes, and then the classes that the sponsors are giving, things do get better because we have more educated boards. Sure. And Eric made a comment that the board's job is thankless, which is true. So I want to take this opportunity to thank all the board members here for attending.
Absolutely.
And getting
certified. Those of you that serve, no two ways about it.
Yeah, Jeff, that's definitely a great point. What we've noticed and what we try to promote as much as possible is getting our boards to get as educated as possible so they have a good understanding of what they're doing. An event like this is excellent because you get to talk with amongst other board members, understand that you're not the only one in the current position that you're in. You can find solutions to problems that maybe you haven't dealt with in the past and you don't know how to deal with. So an event like this is definitely great, and we wish we could have more of these.
Well, before we actually go to you, Darlis, because I certainly want to hear from you, you know, I still have to take it that over the years, sometimes, and maybe Mark is also the best person to ask this, sometimes you'll take over a new community and you look at the books and records and you go, wait a minute, what in the world went on here? Mark, I guess let me throw that to you.
Yeah, we find it quite a lot, Eric, where, you know, certain volunteers have come to us and they just sense something is wrong, and quite often it is. It used to be developers were the big devil out there, but now we hear a lot more that it's board of directors taking advantage of their situation. A lot of times we find that those that have been in power the longest and trusted the most sometimes are the most dangerous. So transparency, I think, is the big cure to that, and a lot of that's why I think access to records is such a hot button, but we found it far too often.
Well, that's a good point, Mark. Actually, let me raise another point to you after doing this. How long have you actually been a CPA for community associations at this point?
30 years.
30 years, okay. And your job as a CPA has been actually to do forensic accounting even on many different associations, for many associations throughout Florida. What are the things that you would encourage the people in the audience to actually look for and be careful about? Make sure board members don't do whatever it is. Maybe it's have two signatures on a check. How do you have checks and balances on a current board? What do you suggest as a CPA?
Rule number one is to have a written policies and procedures manual that somebody can go back and reference from year to year so that we have a certain way of doing it. Control the risk areas as far as big projects is a risk area. Use of credit cards is a risk area. Taking in cash is a risk area. So areas that you know that are perennially problems are the ones to really focus on.
Yeah, I can tell you over the years, we've always had problems when associations would accept maintenance payments in the form of cash. Never works out well. Somehow the unit owner is always delinquent or there's not enough money in the association's bank account. I agree. All right, so Darlis, how about you? Do you feel the situation is actually exaggerated here in Florida? Are things worse than they seem, better than they seem? What's your thoughts?
I don't think that they're exaggerated. I think that it is what everybody thinks it is, and I think there are a number of associations where board members are out of control, and I think that that occurs when you have apathy from the homeowners and from the other board members. If the board is not working, and I said this earlier, if you're not working in unison with each other and if the homeowners aren't, everybody has to be watching over everybody. It's checks and balances. The board should be checking on the management company. The homeowners should be checking on the board. I mean, that it just you have to work together to keep that transparency out there.
Yeah, I can tell you typically it happens, I see, in the 55 and over communities even more than in any other communities because they're not tend, respectfully, not to be as actively involved in the governance of the actual community. And if someone's in there paying the bills and everything's going okay, nobody questions it until all of a sudden somebody finds out that there's a ton of money missing from the operating account. There was one famous account, as a matter of fact, that I know we spoke about on the radio about a year or two ago, where all the money from a local Hollywood condominium association wound up, you know where, of all places? In the slot machines in this place.
Yes.
Yeah.
What? Oops.
You know those cards that you have that you swipe? Well, it turns out that the president was here every single day using the association. She was caught by that very card. So that's what did her in. And actually, when arrested, admitted to having a gambling addiction and using the association's funds to actually fund it. But I can tell you over the years, and I'm sure Scott will agree, we've been involved in associations where board members have been caught stealing, have been caught in participating in fraudulent elections, have been getting kickbacks. I remember giving one particular case in Sunny Isles. A president gave a board member a fake raise of like $100 a week and then would follow that maintenance worker to the bank, and then the $100 would be kicked back to that board member. So, yeah, things, in fact, do happen. But the question is, does it happen enough so that it warrants this kind of negative connotation that condominiums and HOAs get? I'll say no, but I'm going to throw it off now to the guy that's probably investigated more condos and HOAs than FDLE, the FBI combined, and that's Jan Bergman from Cyber Citizens for Justice. Jan, what do you think?
Well, I think the biggest problem is there is no real enforcement. We find a lot of shenanigans financially and everything, but even if you know and if you have the proof, there is nobody who wants to run with it, and that is what is so tempting for many board members and CAMs to embezzle the money because they know they will get away with it. You know, you possibly know about the Hallandale Beach case, $1.4 million were embezzled. 6 years later, still no trial, and the people enjoy the money they embezzled. You know, so the other people who sit in the courts do that.
The defense in that case was brilliant. You know what it was? Our clients are so old, we're just going to wait until they die before they want to face trial. Literally, that's what's been happening.
And some of them have.
And some of them have.
We actually became representing that association after the bad board left. And unfortunately, yes, the association is probably never going to get that money back.
Yeah, not going to happen. Well, you know, one guy, they made him get rid of basically all of his assets, but that's about it. Yeah, after so many years, that case still hasn't gone to trial. And I guess that's what angers, you know, Jan.
But
no matter what happens, no matter what kind of case you put together,
well,
there is no
Jan's case. Jan's absolutely right. You know, here's the thing, and I said it before, you got to put your name on the line if you want things to change. And it's not just run for the board. Unfortunately, and we have a client that was here today, and I'm not going to mention his name or where he lives, but he has a case that, you know, quite frankly, you have a board that has taken possession of a number of condominium units in the association. It's a rather large association, and they have backdoor deals with the management company and a rental company, I guess, a real estate broker that is owned by the president of the board, and they're taking these units, which the association doesn't own, or in some cases do own, renting them out and pocketing all of the money, and nothing is going back to the association, you know, to basically mitigate some of the costs that the other unit owners are facing. This place is huge. There are tons of delinquencies, and nobody wants to step up except for the two people that signed up with our office. And unfortunately, they're going to end up bearing the burden of taking this to court, going through depositions, and paying the lawyers just to make things better for their entire community. And that's not fair, but, you know, in most cases, nobody does that, and things just continue, and it's business as usual for greedy CAMs and board members and whoever.
See, but a lot of times as attorneys, you know, we get calls in the office that says, I don't know, I can't prove it, but I just know it. The people on the board are getting kickbacks or they're doing things illegally. I think that type of talk I probably heard, I don't know, 10,000 times over the last 20 years. I guess our managers have heard that, you know, just as much. I find that, you know, despite all the talk, no, it's simply not the case. It's not happening as much as people think it's happening. Just love to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, the one thing I want to point out is there are more condominiums and HOAs in Miami-Dade and Broward than the whole rest of the state combined. So there's just huge numbers down here. So, yeah, there are, you know, there of course is some going on, but the percentage isn't as large, I think, as what people think. So there's a lot of bad feeling here, but I don't think it's as widespread as they're.
Yeah, Dallas.
Eric, I think that one of the issues that creates the assumption that there is wrongdoing with the financials, with the money, is that the boards tend not to want to share that financial information, are made available to the homeowners easily, and it's very open, it's discussed at board meetings. I think that the homeowners would understand, have a better understanding of where the money is spent.
Sure. Communication boils down to communication.
Yeah.
All right, we've heard from the board members out there, a lot of you at the beginning of the show. Now, I actually want to hear from some of the unit owners out there. I want to know, what are the things that really anger you most about what your board does or doesn't do? Let's give some examples. For example, do you feel that you're not kept informed about what's going on in the condo, just as Darlis mentioned? You know, maybe that they enforce rules that they shouldn't enforce. Are there secret meetings going on that they're simply not posting? Are the board not open to suggestions? What are the things as unit owners that say, you know, I just can't take what my board is doing? Somebody start it off.
I'm going to bet the first one says they won't let us look at the records.
Right? That's the most common. Yes.
Good afternoon. Three of our petty cash slips were signed by Mickey Mouse. Literally, God's honest truth. My question to you, Eric, is who is ultimately responsible? The president of the board, who should have been overseen, or the management company who runs the office and also does our accounting?
What
and
kind of slips were these that were signed Mickey
petty
Mouse?
Cash,
oh, petty cash,
totaling $500.
Well, whoever...
Who?
The bottom line is the buck stops with the board of directors. That's the bottom line. They have a fiduciary duty to the owners to make sure that that money is not taken out by Mickey Mouse, but actually somebody on the board.
Yeah,
can account
except,
for it.
You know, people, you know, condo owners were denied access to financial records.
Well, that's what Scott just said. Probably the number one complaint in this room would be, and as Jan would tell you, the number one complaint with the DBPR is they don't let us see the records. So, yeah, but the answer to your question is definitely the buck stops with the board of directors. If money
not
is being
the
taken.
Management.
Well, I'm not saying the management company doesn't have a role, but the bottom line is the board of directors is the one where the buck stops with them.
Beautiful.
Anybody else?
Thank you.
Yeah, problems. What are the problems in your community that bother you about your board? Let's hear it.
Thank you all. By the way, great show today. The education's been fantastic,
thank
so
you.
I thank you. Two things. First off, absolutely, we never get statements. If my wife happens to forget to pay, we'll get a statement 6 months later, late fees, blah, 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 blah. We've always requested that our quote-unquote management company deliver these to us, but they just won't, and the board doesn't really stand behind its association. Unfortunate. One of the reasons may be, and my question to you really is there a way to handle this, is the person who handles our association funds, and we do have 250 units, and we do have, our maintenance is at least $40 a month, so we know there's some kind of a requirement for somebody to be CAM licensed to handle this. And we know he is not, and I cannot convince the board to move forward on this and eliminate the person.
So you're saying you have somebody handling association funds that doesn't even have a CAM license?
Does not.
Oh, I'm going to kick that off to you, Jeff. I'm going to let you answer that. I have a feeling associate probably wouldn't let an unlicensed person do that. That's my guess.
That is true, and CAMs are controlled by the state, so you can make a complaint to the state.
Yeah, but this person doesn't even have a CAM license.
Yeah, no, you can complain against the person that's acting as a CAM because we're all required to have licenses, and the state will control
and
that.
And I believe that's actually a felony under Florida law.
The complaint would be unlicensed activity. Now, of course, I don't want to create a lot of animosity with my board, nor in my association, because afterwards they're going to say, well, now we have to pay somebody what you're supposed to pay a management company because now we don't have a guy who will do it for cheap. Wonder why.
Well,
probably
cheap,
no insurance
cheap is
either.
Expensive when somebody brings that lawsuit to because the board is hiring unlicensed, unqualified personnel. Mm-hmm. I promise you, in defense of that lawsuit, they're going to pay a lot more money than if they just paid a licensed community association manager to defend it.
Okay, but how do I keep the siege machines away from my house when I do this?
They don't know that there's a problem unless you tell them there's a problem. You know, as Scott mentioned before, you got to step up to the plate. Can't be scared and let them know, hey, I know what you're doing. Change it up or I'm going to report you.
Correct.
The DPBR won't release your name if you call and file the complaint. They'll keep it confidential. Okay.
But the DPBR has another problem. They want to bring people on the right path. So when you report an unlicensed CAM, they say, yeah, but we don't want to do any harm, so we give him the chance to get licensed now. And that is absolutely wrong, in my opinion. That person violated the laws and should feel all the power of the laws brought upon him. And giving them the opportunity then to make a license, that's like you tell a bank robber, okay, you robbed the bank, but if you pay the money back in, you're free to go. That's wrong. And I think the DBPR really has to take a stand and get rid of all these guys who work without a license.
I think we had one more person over there. Way to go, Nora.
Yes, the concern that I have with the association, actually the board of directors of my association, is that, first of all, they don't have any transparency. We complain over and over about it, about showing us the financial statements. We want to see the books. We want transparency. They rely completely on the management company to make all of the decisions because they are so good that they don't care to oversee what they do. We requested on the meetings that they should bring those financials information to us. They ask us to go to the office. But once we go to the office individually, they make any excuse not to give it to us. So we never get them. I propose that they post it in our website. And a lot of excuses for them to show in there because they don't know how to manage the website. They don't know how to download it there or something.
Let me say this. What typically stops that type of behavior is the first time they get sued, the first time they get hit with a $500 penalty, the first time they get hit with an injunction, and the first time that they have to pay your attorney's fees, which could be several thousand dollars. Next time up, you'll get the records a lot quicker. Okay? All right, but let's move on to another topic because we only got about 10 minutes left. How many managers are there in the audience today? Because we had a lot of managers in the audience. And I'd really like to hear from some of you today because managers, at least to me, are the people, I got to tell you, with the most difficult jobs in a community association. You have so many hats. You're the guys that have to please the board. You also have to be the smiling face of the community when people walk into the office. You also have to comply with the law, even though oftentimes your boards may not want you to. And you have to put up with difficult unit owners. And, you know, again, you're even sometimes asked to forget about those statutes and stuff. Just do it the way I tell you. So I want to ask a two-part question maybe to some of the managers. You know, what do you want board members and unit owners to know about the difficult work that you have to do? know, I want you to tell them about how they can make your life easier, and what suggestions can you make to your boards that would, again, help make your job easier and their job easier in terms of getting along with them? How about we start with some of our experts? Or how about any managers in the audience that want to address that? Sure, let's hear it.
Hi, Eric. I'm Scarly Guerrero with Affinity Management Services. The first and foremost point that I would like to offer everyone to understand is to, when you come into a situation that you perceive may be negative, just come in with an open mind and give the manager that's responsible for that situation to explain themselves to you before you make, you jump into any assumptions. People come in there with a very negative mindset, especially when we're talking about money or raising fees or if things don't go their way, and they do not allow themselves to really gather all the information before they make that determination. And so they come in and they bring additional negativity into an already very difficult situation. So if a person will come in with an open mind and really gather all the information beforehand, it would make it that much easier, because then the barriers are lower and they're able to communicate with their manager, and then they're able to work together towards a solution instead of creating additional problems.
Sure.
So that would be my recommendation.
You. Any other managers out there? Sure.
I'm Anita Candig from Wellington, and I became a CAM manager, but a unit owner first. And I was on the board, and I should get one of these awards. I was on the board for 1 month or two, and that was enough for me, because I was trying to do my best to follow the documents, and I tried to make known to people who got on the board that you have to go by the documents. So as a unit owner first, you really have to show that you have some knowledge and work with the people in your community. I have found by trying to encourage people to come to meetings, because sometimes they're downed because they will not come back again. If you can get them to come back and to really participate, it becomes really a great environment. But can I ask this one question? Because this has become a major question. With all the foreclosures that we've had to deal with, it comes to the fact at this point that now we're dealing with another problem called investors. And because of that, if you have nothing in your documents, what do you do to pass anything in your community to protect home ownership?
Okay, that question has come up all the time. How do you stop investors from gobbling up units in your community? Well, typically, what are investors trying to do? They're trying to probably put a renter in there half the time, right? So a lot of communities, what they've done in response to that is they said, you know what, for the first year or two, we're going to prohibit rentals in our community during your first year or two of ownership. And again, that's helped in a lot of different communities, certainly. All right, let's do this. Let me ask a question to everybody. How did everybody like the board certification seminar this morning? Round of applause. Good time? All right, thank you. When we started the course, I told everybody that there was actually two ways to get certified. One way was to actually attend a seminar like all of you did this morning. That's the proper way to do it. But there's another way to do it, which is, again, what I keep saying, by signing that silly self-serving affidavit that I think is ridiculous. You can actually print it off the internet, say you're a know-it-all. By the way, what I forgot to tell you about that affidavit is, for condo directors, you know you're all governed by 718, Florida Statute 718. That form that you sign doesn't even require you to admit or even know that 718 even exists.
Oh, boy.
So that's how silly that form is. So now that you've taken an educational course, you took a few hours out of your daily lives, what do you think? Do you think it should be mandatory? Yes, well.
Resounding yes.
All right, well, how about somebody grabbing the mic and telling me why? Who out there thinks it should be mandatory? Someone be brave enough. How, gentleman up front. Sam up front.
Absolutely. Wait a second.
Thanks, Sam. Sam, the award-winning Sam.
It definitely should be a mandatory requirement that all unit owners who have become volunteer members on the board should have some type of training. My biggest problem with some of my associations, I have to deal with some of the most dysfunctional people in my career. I mean, there's constantly arguing and bickering back and forth, just like all the other points of order that came up. There's just so much that causes problems for me as a manager.
And you think education will make it a lot better?
Education should hopefully, at least hopefully, correct some of the issues.
Great. Anybody else who thinks, again, worthwhile education is a worthwhile cause? Gentlemen, down there. How about from our experts as well? Anybody on the panel thinks certainly kind of silly not to require board members to have an educational course for a few hours a year?
Especially HOAs.
Sure. Because it's going to be available for HOAs as well.
Yeah, I'd have to say it's an unquestionable. I'm one of the people who happened to raise my hand as someone who is also CAM licensed. So although it's not my full-time job at this time, it's something that I've dealt with for years now. And every time, as you had related earlier, every time the board is more informed and more interested, and in my little world is kind of a part of the last question, more willing to respond when I'm asking for help and what they're going to plan to do and how we can move the association forward. And, and if you're informed, if you're willing to take the step to be a volunteer, I know it is a thankless job, but being informed and taking that responsibility as such moves your association forward. There's
good
just
for
so
you.
Much to
we've
it.
We've got time for one more. Yes.
Okay, I say definitely. There's one line that says you're only as good as the information provided, and this goes to all professionals being paid or non-paid. Definitely get some education behind it.
Thank you. Yes, someone in the back.
One more real quick, Walter from Tamarack. I think you have to seriously question the intentions of a board member who is not willing to take further education
in
there.
Good for you. I love that statement. Good for you. I think that deserves a round of applause. And I think, Walter, on that note, it looks like we wrapped up our first live radio show.
Wonderful.
How'd it go, everybody? Everybody
Thank
enjoy
you.
It? All right.
Well,
we've got a great audience.
I guess I'd like to say thank you to Eric, who's actually been really working his butt off trying to put this whole thing together.
It came up.
And it would be nice that this week we're going to finally get our boss back at the office.
Thank you,
but
Scott.
He's done a great job.
Everybody, thank you for attending today. Congrats on being certified, and thanks for listening to Condor Praise and HOAs. Have a good week, everybody.